What do your actions say that you love? You see, your actions are actually what is going to tell you the truth. In fact, we were in church, and most of you have probably taken the teacher's pet answer and said, "I love Jesus more than anything." But does your actions display that? Does your prayer life, does your Bible time, does your devotion to the church, do the fruits you bear display that you truly love Jesus more than anything? If you'll stand with me this morning, we'll go to the reading of God's Word in 2 Timothy chapter 3, starting there in verse 1. It says this: "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own self, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women, laden with sins, led away with divers lusts, ever learning, and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth, men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. But they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was." Let's pray. Father, as we come before you this morning, Father, on this Valentine's Day weekend, when love is in the air and we are talking about all the people that we love, who will be my Valentine? Father, I'm praying today that when we consider love, that we ask ourselves the question, do we really love Jesus as we should? Father, sometimes our actions don't display what our mouths speak. And I pray today that we would begin to show through our actions that we love you. Father, be with your people today. Lead us and guide us as we go through your word. And may your Holy Spirit pierce our souls this morning. And we say this in your most kind and gracious heavenly name. Amen. You may be seated. Friends, I am afraid today that we may have a direction as God's people that is not the direction we should be following. Perhaps we are living in a world that was neglecting the Savior. Perhaps our love is misdirected. You know, we live in a world today that really likes to follow trends. In our world, we like to find the next best cell phone or the next best clothing line or the next best car. We want to follow trends. We like to follow the trends of the world, to do what is popular, to do what our friends do. But I'm afraid that this may mean that we have begun to trend the wrong way. I'm afraid that we are downward trending. I fear that as 2 Timothy 3:4 says, we may be trending in this direction. 2 Timothy 3:4 says, "Traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasures more than lovers of God." Notice the last part of that verse. 2 Timothy teaches us that there will be a time when people are lovers of the pleasures of this world more than they are lovers of God. Now, 2 Timothy does not say that choose not to love God at all. 2 Timothy does not say they don't even acknowledge his existence. 2 Timothy says they choose to love the world more than they love God. Doesn't mean they don't even know who God is, that he exists. You see, we live in a world where people want a little bit of God. They want a sprinkle of God, but they never want all of God. They want to love God when it is convenient for them, or when they need help, or when they have something on their mind, but they would rather love the pleasures of the world than the Savior of the world. Friends, this sounds familiar to me. It sounds as though this is the very world in which we may find ourselves in today. A world that desires the pleasures that surround us. A world that desires the trends of the world more than it desires the one who saved us. And how often, especially as we find ourselves today standing in the Bible Belt, do we see thousands of people living a double standard? How often do we see people who choose to go to church once in a while or put a little money in the offering plate and that's good enough? They think that the minor sprinklings of Jesus is enough in their life. And I pray today that that's not you, but there could be some of us here that are like that. That sprinkling Jesus in, that would be enough for Jesus our Lord. But friends, Jesus Christ has higher expectations of us than to sit in our pews while loving the flesh of the world more than we love the one who saved it, the one who created it, and the one who dwells within it through his Spirit. I fear that many in this world are more excited about what can be offered to them. What can the world give to me? Rather than what Jesus truly is. Rather than fully committing their life to him as he died for us. As we continue on looking here at 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Verse 5 said this: having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. Friends, everywhere you look, the world has formed a type of godliness, a form of godliness, meaning sprinkles of God intersect their life. People, especially in our part of the world, have formed a life around putting God in certain aspects of their life. Just enough to say, I go to church on Sunday. Or just enough to say, I'm part of Green Valley Baptist Church or whatever other church. But they fail to have enough God to actually live their life for him. So I'll ask again, hey, what do you really love on this Sunday? In this regard, the small amount of love that we show to Jesus Christ, just enough to sprinkle him into our life. Isn't that version of godliness more for us than it is for him? The version of love that causes us to love only a little bit of God is more so that we can feel good about ourselves, is more so that we can tell our friends that, oh, I go to church, or when someone invites us to church, we say, oh, I already go to church, or when someone tries to talk to us about the gospel, we say, I already know Jesus because I've sprinkled him into my life. But is that feeling not more for us today? Is it not more to make us feel good than it is to love our Savior? Friends, going to church today is not enough of a relationship with our God. putting a little bit of money in the offering plate as you walk out the door today is not enough of a relationship with the Lord our God. But what if we stay the same in this life? What if we never change? You see, the question is pretty easy to answer today because 2 Timothy answers it for us. In fact, the Word of God answers it here in verse 1 of 2 Timothy. Or 3 Timothy, excuse me. Yeah, 2 Timothy chapter 3, excuse me. It says, "This know also that in the last days perilous times shall come." You see, these things have been mentioned. And living as people who pretend to know God but do not, living as people who love the flesh more than they love the Savior, these things, friends, are signs of the last times. Friends, it's coming soon, and I'm excited for it when it does, but here is my problem today. I see many who are lost, many who have sprinkled God into their lives and have never fully given themselves to the Savior. And friends, we need a miracle from our Lord to work in this land. We need our Lord to change hearts. So let me ask you this. What if He is trying to change your heart right now? You know, the devil will do a good job of trying to play tricks on us. What lies is he telling you today? No matter what he is telling you, the truth is you have to live faithfully and boldly for him in every aspect of your life. And if we are not doing that, then we are not living our life for Jesus Christ. And we are proving through our actions that we truly do not love the Savior more than anything. So are we going to do the same thing we have always done? Or are we going to make a change? Friends, are we going to continue to live like this? Are we going to continue to wait on God to do something in this land? He will not act if we are not faithful. So I want to ask you, are you a faithful people for Christ today? Because when you go into this world claiming to be a Jesus follower, but you fail to live completely and totally for Him, you fail to truly love the Savior, you're not only hurting yourself, but you are displaying to everyone that you love the world more than you love Jesus Christ. And you're displaying to the world that it's okay to only have a sprinkling of Jesus Christ. Friends, today is the day to change that. You know, I think about our time in Operation Heal America, the time that we had the crosses up here. But friends, what if it was just that? What if it was only a time, only an event that we did? What if it was only something we look back on and say, yeah, that was neat. Yeah, we did 40 days of prayer. Yeah, we fasted from this or that. But what if we look back and it didn't really change anything? Friends, time to move forward today in the name of our Lord. And to do that, we have to love our God more than anything. So what are you going to do different today than what you have been doing? Because friends, as we look around and we see friends and family who say they know Jesus. They say they know the Savior. They say they love the Savior. But they've really only let Him be a part of tiny aspects of their lives. Are you really content today to sit around and watch people that we know, people that we love, say I love the Savior when they really don't? Are you willing, if you are that person, to sit here another day and say, I love the Savior when you really don't? You know, I kept thinking back to something that Pastor Don tells me often when he asks me questions. And it was kind of how I opened this. A lot of times, he'll say something to the nature of asking a question like I did, do you love Jesus? And then he'll say, do you love Jesus really? Because that really, that asking yourself again, don't just say it, don't just make it as a statement, don't just say I love Jesus, but really examining your life. Do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus really? You have the choice to live completely devoted to Jesus Christ, the Savior, today. If the person who lives in this world is you, and you know in your heart that your actions aren't indicative of someone who loves the Savior, that your prayer life is not indicative of someone who loves the Savior, that your devotion time is not indicative of someone who loves the Savior, it's time to change that today. Brothers and sisters, we are called deeper in this world. We are called to much more than living our lives just to make ourselves feel good. But how many people do just that? How many people come in here on Sunday so they can live their week without guilt because I went to church on Sunday? You know, perhaps the most compelling truth of this scripture is in verse 7. 2 Timothy 3:7 says this. It says, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. I want to read that again. Sometimes I think we have to read stuff twice to really understand it. This is what he's saying about these ungodly actions and the people that are in the end times. He says, and if we add they here, it may help. They are ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Do we not today live in a world that is seeking constant advancement, constant further education, learning the next philosophy or the next standard? And friends, I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but maybe we've missed the mark. Maybe we're ever learning, but we never understand the real truth. Maybe we are more focused on how to make ourselves smarter, to make ourselves the next genius, to make ourselves the next great inventor, to continue to advance our lives, how to get ahead of the next guy in our workplaces. Maybe we are so focused on continuing to grow in our physical life that we have missed the most important truth of all, and that is that Jesus Christ came to the cross of Calvary to die for our sins, something that we were unworthy to. And he done so because he called us to live our life for him. You know, I think back to Genesis and the creation. When God created Adam and Eve. And the whole reason behind it was that he wanted to have a personal relationship with them. And from the beginning of time, that has been what God has sought from us. Through their sin and our sin, that has been broken. But God's entire mission for you is to live your life for him. But maybe we have missed what our heart is trying to tell us. Maybe we've missed the truth of our hearts. Friends, we're constantly looking for the next best thing, the next person, the next good feeling, looking for something to fill a void that we will never be able to fill. Do you know why we'll never be able to fill that void? Once again, I'll say it. Because since the beginning of time, when Adam and Eve were created, a void was created when they sinned, a God-shaped void, because the whole purpose of our creation was to live for Him. And if we fail to do that, we will constantly be searching. We will continuously be looking to fill a hole that was caused by what this says here in Isaiah 59:2. It says, "But your iniquities have separated you and your God, and your sins have hid His face from you, that He will not hear." Think of that for just a moment. Our sin has separated us from God, and He will not hear us. Since the day of creation, the only thing He wanted was a personal relationship. But when Adam and Eve sinned in the garden, we began to search. We began to search for something to complete us, to fill us. So I ask you today, we say constantly, as we've come into this place, all since New Year's, that we want revival in this land. But do you really want revival in this land? Because on this Valentine's Day weekend, you have an important decision to make. Your heart has been told the truth of why you feel empty. You either love God more than anything else, or you could take Him when you want Him, just to make yourself feel good enough to live. And the truth is, you know where you fall today. So are you going to continue to live your life focused on the ways of this world? For our church today, I would ask you, do you really want to see revival? Because it starts in our hearts. Friends, it begins in our homes. It begins by our decision to not sprinkle Jesus into our life, but be completely and totally consumed by Jesus Christ the Savior. I was listening to a speaker and he said simply this, and I'm paraphrasing when I say this because I can't remember exactly how he said it. But he said, "What are we even doing here if we're simply trying to find a place to squeeze Jesus into? If we're simply trying to put Him into the next event or into the next church function, if we're trying to squeeze Jesus into aspects of our lives, even aspects of our churches, then we've missed the mark. Because shouldn't He be the center, friends? When Green Valley Baptist Church seeks to do something, shouldn't we ask the question, not where can we put Jesus, but is He in it? Is He already found in what we're doing? Same goes for our lives. Shouldn't we ask, not where can we squeeze Jesus into our lives, but is He already in our lives? Friends, I would check you today. Do not ask the question, where can I put Jesus? But always ask yourself the question, is Jesus already there? It's time to live our lives for the Savior. For those here that have prayed for revival, I once again challenge you to view your life from a wide lens. And if you really are praying for revival, Has it begun in your heart? Is your life indicative of someone who wants revival? Today you may find yourself saying, I have been the one who has been living two lives. I come to church and I sprinkle Jesus into it. I've sprinkled Jesus into my life. I've gave him bits and pieces of my life. Let me tell you, you will never be good enough on your own. And you will constantly be searching. And it's only through the grace of Jesus Christ that we may feel the unfillable hole that is in our heart. So today you say that you want to change this life that you've been living. You want to not be one of those who learn, but they never know the truth because they're constantly looking for a way to fill a void, to advance their lives. I pray today that you would come today and make yourself free. If you do not know him today, and you have acknowledged today that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, I pray that you would come today, that you would repent for the life that you have lived. I pray today, would you allow him to come and to live in your lives? And friends, as I begin to come to a close here, and as we begin to have Marty come in just a moment, challenge yourself this morning, and as he sings, ask yourself, do I love Jesus? Do I love Jesus really? Let's pray. Father, we come before you today, humbled by your most holy word. And Father, we're praying today that we would seek the truth. That we wouldn't be looking for further advancement any longer on our physical lives. Father, we're looking to fill a hole that's unfillable without your most holy name in it. So Lord, today, help us to ask ourselves, as revival started in our hearts, help us to ask ourselves, do I love Jesus? Do my actions show that? Today I pray that your Spirit would move within the hearts of the people that are here, within the hearts of the people that are online, Father. And if there's one here who doesn't know you, or Father, they've sprinkled you into their life, Father, may today be the day that that changes. Father, would they come today? I say this in your most kind and gracious name.